Jetzt haben wir Rana aus Jerusalem hier in unserem Zoom.
Genau, live zugeschaltet im Studio. Wir hoffen, die Technik macht mit und wir bekommen diese Live-Übertragung hin. Rana, can you hear us? Are you here? Rana?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. So, welcome, Rana Bshara from Jerusalem.
Just a minute, Lina. Hello?
Hi. We are now live, Lina? On air and we can hear you. Can you tell us where you are now and how is the situation?
Okay, well, I am good morning, everybody, and good afternoon. I am in Galilee, in a village called Tarshiha. Tarshiha is a Palestinian village that was occupied in October 28, 1948. And Tarshiha was the last village to fall after Nakba. We lasted 6 more months after the May 15th. Because there was a lot of resistance here, and my father was one of them who was defending our village. We resisted 6 more months, but they bombed us from the air. That's why now we are still under occupation, but we are surrounded by 4 settlements. So, and they joined us with a Jewish settlement to take over our land. So we lost 90% of our land. This is where I am located now, in Galilee, on the Lebanese border. Is that clear? Hello?
Yeah, it's clear. Okay, and how is the situation since then, so you now have an Israeli citizenship, right?
Hello?
Yeah, Lina? Yeah. We can hear you.
Yeah.
So you now have an Israeli citizenship, right?
Yes, an Israeli citizenship, but a different class of citizenship. If I want to define it, it's maybe a 10th class citizen, not a second, a 10th class citizen.
Can you explain, like, why would you say it's a 10th class citizenship? What does it mean to be Palestinian within Israel?
Yeah, well, to carry an ID is not only to have the ID as a paper. You have to have it for real. You have to have it applied on so many levels. For example, it started even in many ways in the educational system. There is so much discrimination against us as citizens. We are not free to live anywhere we want. For example, in Palestine, we are multi religious. In historic Palestine, but it doesn't, you know, like when Israel was established on our land, on our expense, and on our land, on the expense of our freedom. They made sure that we are limited in the areas we are living. For example, we are 1,600,000, and in Israel there is 6.8 million. Therefore, we are actually located in Galilee, mostly in Galilee and in the Triangle area. So in this area, we are, the Sharon plan was to surround all Palestinian villages with settlements. Therefore, they actually limited us in our living areas. So we are basically living in, I don't want to say ghettos, but it's basically very concentrated areas where settlements all surrounded, bypass roads. And we have not the freedom to move around or live in for example in Moshav or kibbutz. There is limitation. We have in our educational system, when we are studying in high school and even in the elementary school, the system made sure that we are not learning the Palestinian history in terms of our real history. So we have to learn for the Bagrut examination, So this is Judaizing our history, Judaizing our memory, or make sure that we are not memorizing Mahmoud Darwish or our great poets or our great politicians like, for example, Abdel Nasser or Arafat or any. There is nothing mentioned in our system, in our educational system. So starting from the educational system in elementary and high school, we have to learn about the Jewish history. We have to learn about the Holocaust. There is two units that we have to learn to pass the Bagrut examination. We have to learn the Tanakh and the Talmud, the Israeli Tanakh. We have nothing. I mean, they impose on us to learn this and to forget our history. In universities as well, I remember in the 90s I wanted to study art, and it was somehow easy to study art, but of course we have to go through many exams. But in nowadays, since day one, they actually social working, anything that has to do with the electric engineering, piloting, and anything that has to do with the security of the so-called Israeli state, it has to be really approved. And it's even medicine, you have to go through a lot of examination, a lot of to apply to get accepted for these subjects. So we are actually limited by our daily life to make sure that we are an eloquent society. We want to basically we are a very, very eloquent society. We have doctors, we have engineers, we have artists. We have musicians, we have everything, but under limitation. You cannot...
Sorry, Rana, the internet connection seems to be a bit not stable right now. Maybe, but like what you mentioned is that
you are really very, very in terms of what's the working field.
Hello, okay. Lina?
Yeah, I think now it's better. So what you mentioned is that there are a lot of there are artists, there are medicals, and like a lot. It's a very eloquent society. This is what you mentioned before.
Yeah, yeah. A very, very, very eloquent, very well. Very advanced society. So, for example, because many students, they because of the limitation to be accepted to the subject, they go to European countries to study and come back, and then they put limitation on you to make the examination for the Israeli health ministry or the students of law. They have to go through the bar, the Israeli bar examination. So they put limitation, and despite all that, we are a successful society, and we are very eloquent, very, very, very sophisticated.
Okay, can you maybe...
So why I spoke... Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted, sometimes when it's, in Israel, people talk about the Palestinians within the 48 area, they use this term of a demographic threat. Can you maybe explain why, what's meant by this?
Yeah, because Palestinians, we love kids, we love to give birth for kids, but not too much because of the limitation, of course, because of the lifestyle. It's very expensive here. We are living in the most expensive country is like Europe, so people are not giving birth to money. But despite that, they are afraid of us to be more in numbers than that, because for example, we are 1,600,000 in the West Bank, 2,700,000 in Gaza, 2,100,000 is 6.8 million. So we are equal in a way. Yeah, of course we are equal, but they put limitations on us as Palestinians in 48 because we are taking over, like we are living over 3% of the land now in Galilee, for example. So they think that if we keep in this level of birthright and at the same time they are also they are bringing newcomers. So all the time they are bringing newcomers to beat us with the numbers. So meanwhile, you know, like our numbers are equal in total in with the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem. So this is a threat for them. Because they want the majority of a Jewish state, and that's why they call it the Israeli Jewish national state law. That's why they approved it in very recently in 2018. They approved this by the parliament by vote of 62-55 Jewish national state basic law that enshrined Jewish supremacy over Palestinian citizens. The law has distinct apartheid characteristic and requires racist act as constitutional value. So they made sure that 65 laws applied on us as Palestinians in 48, and the last law was the Israeli Jewish national law to make us feel desperate and leave. They don't want us. Yani, they want a Jewish majority. As I see it, I'm sorry to say it, they want people to serve them, to clean their cars, to clean their houses, to make sure that the gas is filled in the gas station, and maybe some doctors here and there. This is really true apartheid that we are going through. That's why they are afraid of the demographic status. And 65 laws applied on us. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, 65 laws that were approved on us since 73 years. For example, one of the laws, the most racist laws, the ban of family reunification. What does that mean? If I fell in love with somebody from Gaza or from the West Bank or from Jerusalem, I cannot marry him and I cannot bring him to Israel, you know, what they call Israel, historic Palestine. He cannot live with me. And the kids has to go to the West Bank. So in numbers, they want less numbers, less Palestinians in total. And they want Jewish majority. Families that they have, you know, many kids or two kids or three kids, they have to go to the West Bank and live, and then they want less people in Israel. For example, another law to commemorate the Nakba, for example, in 1948, you cannot even commemorate, you cannot raise the Palestinian flag, especially in Jerusalem. Other laws in Israel that they applied on us. That, for example, if we want to build our houses, we have to have a permission. And of course, yani, since we are limited in our villages and towns, you know, after the Nakba, that we have lost 90% of our land, you have to get the approval to build your house. And in most cases, in 99% of our cases, we cannot build our houses even on our private land. And that is a total apartheid system. So therefore, yani, people are building their houses on their private land, and there are thousands of houses that are actually threatened to be demolished. So the right to live free, the right to work, the right to build your house, the right to commemorate your pain and suffering after 73 years it doesn't apply on us. For example, if you want to hear about Jerusalem, Jerusalemites are residents and not citizens, although they are living and paying taxes and doing everything possible and they have health insurance, but they are not citizens. And anytime they can kick you out, and that was one of the most fascist way to kick Jerusalemite out of the walls, because Jerusalem in proper, you know, they want to create the holy piscine. What does that mean? That they put Palestinians in refugee camps, they encapsulated them in the apartheid walls, and then they left a small number of Jerusalemites, that they are 400,000. And the rest, they are kicked out of the wall, and they create this ring of settlements to make sure that this is the great Jerusalem. For the example of Sheikh Jarrah, if you want to ask me about Sheikh Jarrah, for example, this is actually a macro zoom in to what has been happening in Jerusalem and in Palestine in general, because Sheikh Jarrah in specific. It's part of the whole puzzle, what has been happening in Jerusalem since day one, after the 67 war. They want people to, they are actually planting settlers in many areas in Jerusalem. For example, I was a witness in Jerusalem about the ethnically cleansed of four, five families in 2008, 2009, when they kicked back families out of their homes, and immediately, the same moment they kicked them and they throw their belonging in the street, they insert new settlements to live in the house. And of course, they are actually people who have nothing to do with this land, nothing to do with the with this area. For example, Sheikh Jarrah in 1948, many families has been internally displaced in Palestine. So some of them, for example, Al Kurd family in Sheikh Jarrah, Nabil Al Kurd and his mother Rifqa, they were actually kicked out of Haifa in the Nakba. And so they were internally displaced. They went to Jerusalem. They were given this land where they are living now instead of the help of the UNRWA. So they gave them this land, and they took from them the help, the daily help of the UNRWA. You know. So they gave them this, but when the 67 war happened, they couldn't register the houses. So that's why they are actually arguing, but they have approval. The Jordanese have to have the papers ready for them to say that this is what happened during the war. So, and Israel is denying they don't accept any papers out of the Israeli court, you know, because they don't want to show that this was a Palestinian land in the first place. So they brought papers from the Turkish government, and they brought papers from the Jordanese, but the Israeli court is refusing those papers. They are refusing to look at it even. So that's why they are actually under the threat of being kicked out of their homes now.
So maybe since we have just like 5 minutes more left, but let's talk a bit about resistance, like how Palestinians organize resistance. You mentioned that the Israeli state tries to separate even families from each other, and also Palestinians, like, continuously tries to separate them from each other. Despite all these efforts, how do you manage to organize together, like Palestinians in Gaza, Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in 48 and in Jerusalem? Like, it was not so much on media here, but yesterday there was a general strike going on in all historical Palestine. How did you manage this?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I have to say, and truly, the social media
this has played a big role in from the mutilation, because we are so desperate for freedom. So the mutilation took over, and they made hashtags, especially the Seif Shajarah hashtag, Gaza under genocide, Gaza under attack. So the social media has played a big role in that, and the mutilation, and with the help of the Palestinians who are really eloquent, and so we this strike has started in 48 because we are fed up. We are really under suppression, under ethnically daily cleansing. So we decided to take over to the streets, and something very important, because the settlers, the fully armed settlers, are attacking us everywhere in the streets, in our hospitals, and I mean even in Belps, in many places we are threatened by them, and they say that this is really the last war we are taking things into our hand, because the Israeli settlers are backed by the Israeli police and attacking people in the houses, arresting people in the houses, arresting many young people in the street. We are actually demonstrating for our freedom, for the killing of the genocide that has been happening in Gaza. We are trying to make sure that we say the words loudly. So that's why in the social media, we have made sure that every inch in Palestine is on strike. And thanks to the social media and to the young generation who took over this and the hashtag, and because the West Bank is under siege, Gaza is under siege, and the Palestinians in 48 under siege. So in many ways, you know. So that's why we decided to make sure that this is our last call for freedom. We are not citizens. We are actually living under oppression as Palestinians in 48. That's also the same in Gaza.
So this is
what we are speaking. As we are speaking, the last statistics, because we are not numbers, the last statistics say that 217 Palestinians were killed, 63 of them are children, 36 are women, and 16 elderly, 1,500 injured, 50 in critical cases, 370 in the lower part of their bodies, 130 in their heads, and out of them 450 children and 295 women. Sorry, I'm being very very emotional, because this is really a genocide on Gaza, and we are watching from Galilee, and we cannot even reach to help or give any support to our brothers and sisters in the West Bank and in Gaza. So they encapsulated us in three areas that we cannot have linked. That's why the social media has made it possible for us, and also in the diaspora.
Yeah, thank you, Hanna, for sharing with us. Keep on the fight.
Yeah, because we are a nation that has the right to live. We are eloquent people, we are sophisticated, we are, but despite everything, despite all the effort to Judaize or like let us forget our cause, because they say the elderly will die and the young will forget. And that's exactly the opposite that happened to us, because we have a true noble cause that we are fighting for, and we want our freedom, and we want to live in peace. Finally, I mean, I'm 50 years old in a few days, and I have never seen a good day in my life. The memory of my grandfather and my father and me is the same, unfortunately. And why? Because of the Zionist state, that they want to live freely in an occupied land. This is not accepted, and we are fighting an uprising for that. And then for the freedom of our children. There are about 300 children in Israeli prisons suffering and going through hell with the Israeli Israeli state, the Israeli apartheid state.
So, yeah, we are on your side, on your struggle for freedom and justice in Palestine. And this was Radio Antimilitarista in Radio Wüstewelle.
Thank you so much for like giving us these insights.
Thank you so much, and I hope that the free people will listen to our free voice, to our the call for freedom, the last call for freedom, because what is happening in Gaza right now and in the West Bank is a true genocide. They are killing left and right with no limits. Nobody is stopping this, and the international community is the big one to blame for this ongoing genocide. And I hope the people will call for this to stop this genocide right now.